This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Productivity gains from automation may be feeding the jobless recovery, but fears over offshoring have dominated the headlines. At the top of the list, white-collar jobs in the technology and service sectors. Confused customers have met this reality on the phone lines. Where customers once battled a maze of call center workers in Dallas, Denver, or Indianapolis, now the task is often handled in Bangalore, Cape Town, or Manila. Now, some of those jobs, though, are trickling back. Joining us now to talk about this trend is David Butler. He's a business professor at the University of Southern Mississippi. He spent nearly a decade studying call centers for his book, Bottom Line Call Center Management, and he joins us now by phone from his office in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Neil.
So what are some of the companies that have sent their call center jobs back home to the U.S.?
Some of the largest known ones are Dell, and actually Dell is probably the most popular one known, but they're also Citibank has canceled a contract with some of the outsourcing companies over in India, and now a few insurance companies are pulling their pieces back as well.
Do we know how many jobs this represents?
Each center is different. Some of the pieces of a call center or back office are being left in India, such as data processing, that does not require a face-to-face or voice-to-voice communication. And so they'll be bringing back some of the customer service voice pieces, leaving some of those over there. So each company has its own unique mixture of what they're bringing back and what they're leaving over there.
One of the things we've seen is trying to find out the number of jobs that are going overseas is tricky. I guess the same thing counts for when they come back.
Absolutely. One of the problems that we have with the call center industry is that it is an industry in every sense of the word, except for the way the government collects data. So we don't have a specific industry code, SIC code, for the call center industry. So it's very difficult to wrap our hands around actual numbers here in the States, as well as what goes overseas, and then the repatriation of those jobs as well.
Well, why are these jobs coming back?
There's a variety of reasons, but the primary reason is the customer service interaction, the voice-to-voice empathy that is needed to continue customers to purchase a product is not at the level a lot of companies expected. They were obviously going overseas to improve their bottom line, 10 cents on the dollar for labor. You know, it looks really great for the first few quarters, but when customer service declines, people start choosing other products. In the long run, that starts hurting the bottom line until they start bringing some of those centers back.
High turnover, is that also a problem?
High turnover is a problem here in the States when you're looking at 30-plus percent. It was actually one of the driving factors to move overseas. And they believed with India, you know, a subcontinent with a billion people that speak English, surely there's an untapped resource there. The problem is you actually do have high turnover. And when you're running a job 9 to 5 here in the States, it's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. over there. So you do have late night, long work, high stress levels. And so turnover has become a problem over there as well.
Well, surely the companies who sent their call centers overseas did some training for the foreign workers to make them more of a fit with their customer base.
Absolutely. There's a cottage industry in India right now, which basically takes an Indian person's name and turns it into a Jane or Steve, et cetera, to where it's a very American-sounding name. Likewise, they also have a specialty school set up to where they watch American television, listen to American movies, American music, try to eat American food to get them as acculturated to America as possible. It's like a little mini enclave of America to where they then can put on their American mask when they're trying to show some sympathy and empathy with the American caller.
I'm told that in some of them, they even train them to be from a putative American town.
Absolutely. At least early on in 02 and 03, they actually were sending a lot of teachers over there and creating artificial identities for these people. So I may be, you know, Jane Smith from Omaha, Nebraska, who loves the most recent Friends episode and watches, you know, a certain football team on television. And, you know, there's a double-edged sword there. One is the reason they're doing this is to obviously try to make sure that Americans are comfortable when they're calling abroad. But at the same time, if there is a level of uncomfortableness, it sort of begs a question on why they're moving them there to begin with.
And surely if you get involved in any kind of an extended conversation, somebody who is from Bangalore or Beijing and pretending to be from Indianapolis, you're going to hear a false note pretty soon.
If you keep them on the phone long enough, absolutely. But once again, the point of these centers is to maximize revenue or decreased loss, and so they try to get you off the phone as long as possible. Recent data indicates that the customer service level from Indian centers is actually very high. The problem is the ability to empathize and solve problems is very low. So they're very nice at not solving your problems.
So some centers, though, are succeeding?
The lower-end centers, and what I mean by lower-end is that those that take a lot of input data and not a lot of working one-on-one have been more successful relative to those that require a lot of support, technical support, dealing with annuities for insurance, those sort of actions. So the higher level it gets, the more interaction and understanding you need for troubleshooting, the less successful. The lower-end ones, which are very close to an automation level, have been more successful.
So the more like it's a phone tree, the more successful it's going to be.
Absolutely. In fact, the way I phrase it to most of the people I've spoken with is that if it hasn't gone automation yet, you go over there to save labor as a stopgap measure before it is fully automated.
We've got a caller on the line. Bee's with us from Waynesboro, Georgia.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say that this was exactly why I switched computer companies, because the customer support from the company I was using originally had been outsourced to another country. And as sympathetic as I was, I really needed help, and I simply could not understand the person who was trying to help me. And this happened a couple of times, and I said, my business is too important. I can't do this. So I switched companies.
So
this story is not uncommon. Obviously, whenever you research anything for as long as I have, anyone who's ever had a problem with a call center or has ever worked in one has told me their story. I actually have a good friend who actually had someone in India walking him through taking apart his computer to fix it, and the level of frustration became so much they were screaming across their house and eventually hung up the phone. But this is one of the, I mean, this is a perfect example of why Dell brought back the commercial laptop division to the state. Is, you know, if you do have a frustrated customer, there are other products and other companies out there, and if this gives you a small edge in the market, that's, you know, enough to warrant keeping it here in the state.
I wonder, when this problem first came up, did you complain to the company?
Yes, I did. I ended up writing a letter and complaining to customer service.
And when you decided enough is enough and you switched companies, did you make sure the new company had their call service center in the U.S.?
I checked and I talked with at least two people, and they assured me that they did. And so far, knock on wood, I haven't had to call, but I trusted what they said.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can get a quick call in from Cliff, who's in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hi there.
Hi.
I had a recent experience just in December with Dell. And when I first purchased stuff from Dell many years ago, the first thing I did was call the customer service number just to see how fast they answered and if they could answer a couple of questions. And it's more or less how I chose Dell 5 or 6 years ago. In December, I had a number of small problems, including a need for the invoices that they never sent. And the folks in India just couldn't handle the question. They didn't understand the question, nor were they capable of actually faxing something, which was critical to completing the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here was a classic case of not being able to deal with the company because of their outsourcing to India, and it left me extremely frustrated and quite sour on Dell as a result of it.
And David Butler, you say they've relocated their laptop division back to the U.S.
Their commercial laptop division is brought back. Obviously, if you have a customer who purchases 100, 200 laptops per year, you want to make sure that the customer service is as high and as solid as possible. That has been re-imported. Other pieces of Dell service is still in India. However, there's also pieces of Dell in the States. One of the strategies that companies with multiple centers have done is they have sent one or two of their service centers overseas, whether to India, South Africa, or to the Philippines, to test it to find out if there are savings to be made long term. Now we're learning that some of these experiments have failed. So depending on the time of day and where your call is routed, you may actually get one of their centers here in the state, or you may actually get it overseas.
Cliff, good luck.
Okay.
And David Butler, good luck with your new book.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
David Butler is Director of International Development at the University of Southern Mississippi's College of Business and Economic Development. His book is titled Bottom Line Call Center Management, Creating a Culture of Accountability and Excellent Customer Service. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.